Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Mount Evans, an obscure peak southwest of Denver, which had been named for John Evans, the second territorial governor of the Centennial State and superintendent of Indian Affairs. Evans, as I'm sure you all know, was forced to resign following the Sand Creek Massacre of 200 Arapaho and Cheyenne by the U.S. Cavalry under Colonel John Chivington in 1864 as part of Evans' directive to subdue the indigenous people he feared would overrun Denver while it lacked military protection during the Civil War. Yes, Evans, in his brief two-year tenure after being appointed by Lincoln, helped establish the legal, educational, and economic systems of Colorado, including bringing the Union Pacific Railroad to Denver, connecting it with both San Francisco and Galveston, Texas, which is why Mount Evans was named for him in 1895. But of course, all of that palefaces in comparison with the massacre, which is why our Wokelitesses have been diligently working toward and now succeeded at renaming Mount Evans as Mount Blue Sky in honor of the Arapaho, who are also known as the Blue Sky People, and the Cheyenne, who celebrate an annual renewal of life ceremony called Blue Sky. Now, of course, this is just another link in the justice-making chain being forged by the American government in rebranding every national landmark in a more pro-Indian and, whenever possible, unpronounceable way. For instance, in order to even get to Mount Blue Sky, you have to drive past former Squaw Mountain on former Squaw Pass Road, both of which were renamed in 2021 as Mesta-I-Hey-Hey Mountain and Mesta-I-Hey-Hey Pass. In fact, the mountain is so geographically remote that Mesta-I-Hey-Hey Pass had to be built solely for the purpose of sightseeing it. This, of course, is all designed to make white Americans feel alienated from the land and guilty for stealing it and having the audacity to domesticate it, cultivate it, and build it into the most prosperous nation in history, all without permission of the natives who often fought so bravely to prevent America from becoming what it is today. And so we celebrate you, Mount Blue Sky, and we cast out the white oppressor name Mount Evans. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the stained glass windows in the National Cathedral, which had featured Confederate generals Robert E. Lee and Thomas Stonewall Jackson. Donated by the Daughters of the Confederacy in 1953, the Episcopal Church had envisioned them as a way of healing the division between Northern and Southern members of the denomination lingering from the Civil War. The windows feature many pairings of Union and Confederate soldiers engaged in productive endeavors, along with flags of both the United States and the Confederacy, beneath images of Abraham Lincoln as a semi-savior of the nation, General Lee reverently reading his Bible, and General Jackson passing over into glory, all of them devoted Christians. Now, clearly anyone with any sense at all knows that representing the healing unity of formerly warring sides would totally be our bag, baby. Except for the fact that we do not want healing and unity with the South. We want them to be vanquished, vilified, and vehemently vituperated. And that is why we are so proud to see another great success for our Otherin and Disarms, who have replaced these wicked pains of reverential unity with glorious images of faceless civil rights protesters carrying signs proclaiming such poignant slogans as fairness, no foul play, or simply no, and this one is my personal favorite, a sign that simply says not. Yes, the images are not ornate, and the slogans are not subtle, but at least the marchers are black and they do not have faces. We celebrate replacing the previous thought-provoking images and their overly complex messages, such as that even the enemies we fight against may well be men of our common faith, sincerely trying to do what's right and destined to share heaven with us as we are all children of a loving God, or that we should remember our history no matter how painful it might be. Instead, we must make sure that onlookers learn that civil rights marchers are good. Period. Message complete. I am, of course, here reminded of the wise counsel of Reverend Perry the Obvious, who taught, "Thou must always dumbeth everything down, so that there may beeth no confusion nor complexity of thought amongst thine sheep." Provoking actual thought is the very last thing we want to do. Thus, we cherish the new windows and the fact that they will never, ever invite a parishioner to spend more than a moment contemplating their meaning on any level other than the most superficial and instantaneous. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
finally, we want to celebrate yet another masterpiece of Wokaganda being delivered by the Walt Disney Company in their forthcoming animated feature, Wish. As the newly released trailer clearly shows, this is yet another glorious story of a heroic young woman who finds herself living in a repressive patriarchy led by a narcissistic sovereign.
Once upon a time stood Rosas, a most magical kingdom, founded by a king with the power to grant wishes.
You are their handsomest, most beloved king.
You're right. I am a handsome king.
Yes, in the land of Rosas, the nearly all-powerful male monarch grants the wishes of his subjects, but rather than granting them all, this wicked potentate, who inherited his crown as the firstborn male, no doubt, capriciously decides to grant some and not other of the deepest heart desires of his unsuspecting subjects.
Asha, come with me. The wishes of Rosas.
Wow.
People give their wishes to me, and I grant the wishes I am sure are good for Rosas.
Some of these will never be granted.
Not some. Most.
They deserve more than...
I decide what everyone deserves.
Ominous music taken to heart. But along comes Asha, a name that means hope or desire, who will usher in the socialist utopia in which everyone's wishes can come true, no matter how absurd or juvenile or contradictory they may be. Yes, Asha will show that tapping into the pagan power of the universe inside of her, she can fight the patriarchy, live her truth, bring down the fake god-man who presumes to rule benevolently over his people, and manifest a kaleidoscope world of unicorn farts and plump dancing stars so lovely only a fruit-flavored candy wrapper could possibly picture it. Men are wicked, women are good, adults are selfish, children are noble, and the Christian god so clearly represented by King Dream Denier must be overthrown if the Rosans are ever going to taste the rainbow of their Skittlestopia. Thank goodness for yet another Disney movie with no male role models that champions wispy Shiro revolutionaries who sing their way into liberation just by the virtue of their own naive egalitarianism. Well done, comradettes. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please keep Janice Ford in your self-flagellations as she continues to struggle with the temptation to convert to capitalism. Sadly, Janice was innocently taking a college course in her Florida hometown and was very deliberately exposed to the history of communism because of the new educational requirements signed by Governor DeSantis last year. Since we had no advance warning of her dangerous decision to gain an education, we didn't have time to properly inoculate her against these villainous facts ahead of time, and she now finds herself suspecting that capitalism actually produces a better quality of life for all instead of the glorious equity through universal poverty we offer in our system. Please say your mantras for her at a distance and do not engage her in conversation, or she may spread her free market idea germs to you if you're not careful. We hope she recovers soon. Refreshments this week include sugar-free, salt-free, butter-free, additive-free biscuits made with carbon-neutral soy milk and unbleached whole-grain wheatgrass flour. There will be no toppings this week due to our ongoing boycott of the Jelly Industrial Complex. Please watch each other carefully for signs of choking and drink plenty of non-potable treated effluent as you fellowship in somber self-reflectivity.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.